You, if you decided you want to make a film by the time you were 30 on a budget of not very much, we'll come on to that in a few moments, but then you did manage to get that film made, and then you were going to see it on the big screen tomorrow night at the Hollywood Cinema in Great Yarmouth, all part of the Great Yarmouth Film Festival. Powerless, the film is called. Local filmmaker, well, Matt Daniels, I think we can still call you just about our own.
Absolutely.
Welcome to BBC Radio Norfolk, although you do live in Shropshire now.
I do, yes.
But tell us about this film. Tell us first of all, you grew up in, was it Corton?
Corton, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Sort of, were you nearly in Norfolk then?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And how long were you in Norfolk, in the area for, should we say?
All of my informative years, right until I was just about to turn 19.
Mm-hmm. And then was it a family move to Shropshire?
Yeah, I did some volunteer work for my church, and then I actually went to university in Wales, of all places, to do an English degree, which people sometimes find rather amusing. And then I met my lovely wife and moved for work to Shropshire.
But something inside you always said, I really am a filmmaker.
Yeah, something inside me definitely said that. It was something I always wanted to do, and certainly I attempted in various guises as a kid. But, you know, at that time, there really wasn't the money available to buy the equipment necessary to do what it was that I really wanted to do. And now that is totally changed.
Is that technology changing, presumably?
Yeah, I think that what you're going to be finding soon is a lot more, I suppose, people like myself that have an idea in them, something that they really want to do, and the facilities are now available. You know, the quality of fairly domestic equipment to pull off what we would consider to be, you know, a high-quality image is, you know, widely available.
Well, who'd have thought even 10 years ago, probably 5 years ago, that you could make CDs in your bedroom?
Oh, I know, I know.
As people do. So making this film, tell us about the equipment you used then to make the film.
Well, it was interesting because when it became kind of apparent to me that it was possible to do this, I talked to a few people that knew a few things about this and said, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make a feature film. We're going to use this domestic kit to do it. And people said, no, you can't do that. You know, that's not going to be possible. You know, you need this kind of camera and you need this kind of equipment. And so almost as a way to kind of get back at these people, we said, right, this is it. We're gonna do everything with domestic kits. So we got a fairly high-end domestic camcorder, and we decided we weren't going to go for a professional lighting rig, so we went to B&Q. We bought some lighting stands and some, you know, those lights that you use when you're meant to be working on your car. And we, you know, cannibalized them, changed them a bit to make them do what we wanted to do. And we went out and we did this, and I used my wife's family as the main characters in the story, and we wrote a movie around what resources we had available to us.
That's an interesting way of doing it. Tell us more about that. The Wilkins family all come from Pembrokeshire?
They do, yeah.
The story was set in Pembrokeshire, or
it
had that
was.
Sort of rugged coastline anyway.
Yeah, definitely. It was set in that area. I mean, the story required an environment that was fairly remote. We made it a little bit more remote than it really was, but we set this in their real home, and they live in this fantastic place on the borders of the Preseli National Park in Pembrokeshire, which is a really beautiful area, and filmed them playing the parts of characters that had been written specifically for them. So it was a real family affair. There was the brother-in-law with all the other brothers and sisters-in-law working together, and everybody in the family in the end had some role to play in the movie, which was wonderful.
The Wilkins, are they all actors?
No. Well, they are now, I guess.
Well, technically.
Originally, no. I mean, I think there's two GCSE dramas amongst all of them. And, you know, again, that was something that people said, look, you're taking a big risk. You know, you need to get real actors to play these parts. And so we worked really hard with them. And they're a very outgoing family, let's put it that way.
They're up for it.
Definitely up for it. I mean, there were occasions where they weren't so up for it, very early in the morning when we were shooting night stuff, and where I was saying, can you just do that a little bit more angry, or can you do this a little bit more excitedly? And particularly Bethany, who plays the main starring role, there are occasions where I would use percentages as a way to say, can you have just 10% more enthusiasm with that? And she's like, what does that mean?
Did you get punched at all?
No, I think that if they were slightly more open with the way they felt about some of the things I asked them to do, they may well have done that. But they're a wonderful group, and it was a real pleasure for me to work with them.
Well, tell us about the plot. What happens in Powerless?
Well, Palace is about a family surviving the aftermath of a terrorist attack on the United Kingdom. And that terrorist attack takes out all the electricity in the country. And so this family are left isolated, remote from the rest of the world, without communication. And the story is about how they survive that scenario. And it sounds, I guess, on the front of it, quite a depressing kind of story, but it really is a movie about survival and about the fact that no matter what people do to us in this world, we have the choice of how we will respond. And I think that's a really important message for our times.
Powerless in more ways than one. What I find a little frightening about that scenario and that plot is it probably wouldn't take much for a lot of people to find themselves in that position.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of concern, isn't there, that we're going to run out of, if we rely on gas imports in sort of the next 10 to 15 years from unstable nations, if those gas supplies break down for any reason, that's it. We've got no electricity.
Yeah, totally. It was the focus of a What If TV program on BBC Two. And interestingly enough, Jeremy Vine on Radio Two is going to be doing a show from an oil rig about this very subject, what's going to happen when our power runs out. And so the scenario in the story is one where the country is in the balance, really, as far as fuel is concerned. There's a bit of a fuel crisis, and then some threats on the country, you know, put the country into difficult circumstances. But what I would point out is that is just the scenario for the background of the story. The story is almost less about that and more about finding a kind of scenario to put people in a position where they have to work together and they have to make the most of their situation. And if you were in that circumstance,
what would you do?
What would you do? Yeah.
That's a perfect cliffhanger. We must say no more about the plot, because obviously we want loads of people to turn up to the Hollywood tomorrow at 6:30 to see the film on the big screen.
Absolutely.
Now, cost. Can we talk money? I've heard eBay has been mentioned. eBay was used in order to raise some revenue.
Yes, this has caused more more press interest than anything else, I think. We needed two things. We needed media attention, obviously, and we also needed money, which you do need, even though we had this wonderful array of free actors and actresses and a free set and location, all this domestic kit. You still can't do it for nothing. So we decided that wouldn't it be a great idea if we sold credits for the film? And so people could see their names rolling past at the end of the movie for a small fee. And
credit on your credit.
That's right. And so that was a good idea. So on the website, we put up these different kind of packs that you could have that you could buy for a different credit in the movie. And lo and behold, people actually wanted to do this. They were impressed enough by the trailer that we put up and impressed enough by the website that we put together to do this. And then we thought we'd go on a step further and put them up for bid on eBay. And people started buying them, and it caused a real stir. And you know, National Five Live covered it. And of course, as soon as there was some media coverage, I mean, it went off, and it actually paid for a fifth of the budget.
Were we talking telephone numbers with these credits? Silly money?
No, we're talking really small amounts. Things like 30 quid was about the most that anyone paid.
But I suppose every penny counts.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if we were a bigger movie and we were going for bigger things, of course, we could have said, we'll have you know, we'll ask for more. But we felt at the time that it was very much a case of, you know, we don't know where this is going. I'm just kind of on a little trip to try and fulfill a dream and enjoy ourselves on the way. And the success, particularly that, but also of the movie since then, has been beyond our wildest dreams, really.
Matt, people buy land on the moon. Know what I'm saying?
Are you going to tell me you own some?
No. I own completely.
Because I can build a studio there if you do.
I own nothing of that interesting. But I'd love to. I'm sure people listening, yeah, I'd pay a bit of money to get my name on the credits of a film.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting that people did. And, you know, we're so indebted to those people for doing so, because it really got us through post-production.
Talk about the reception then. The premiere was in Cardiff not so long ago?
Not too long ago, yeah. It was just last year. It sounds like a long time, but actually, it kind of, for us, it seems really recent.
Well, it was about November, wasn't it?
It was November, yeah. And it was an interesting experience, because we were a fringe film. There's no doubt about that. We were on the edge. We were at the kind of Arts Centre screening the movie, and it was an afternoon slot on the closing day of the festival, which was great. That was a good place to be. And so the tickets went on sale maybe, I don't know, I think it was about 3.5 weeks before the festival began. And within 4 days, the whole cinema had sold out. And so it was a small screen, 70-seat screen. And so the festival turned around to us and said, well, we need to put it into a bigger screen because, you know, we've got no tickets left for anybody. So they moved it into a 300-seat screen, and that then consequently went and sold out as well.
Why? This is going to sound like a really nasty question. Why was it so successful, do you think? How had it caught on so quickly?
I think that certainly some of the unique things we've been talking about now, and I suppose if I'm really honest, when you're in the position I am in, where you have no big stars to offer, you have no big director. I'm not a big director. I've never directed a feature film in my life before this. So you have to play your weaknesses as your strengths. So what are our weaknesses? Well, we've got a family starring in the movie. You know, my family stars in it. What other weaknesses have we got? It was filmed on a camcorder. What other weaknesses have we got? We've got no money. So, you know, the no money thing turns into the eBay thing. The domestic equipment turns into kind of a revolt against Hollywood. The acting from a family. Actually, what movie do you know of that stars 5 siblings? And the acting,
not the Brady Bunch, that not the count,
no, but I'm talking about a real family, and the reviews that came back from that at the Screen Festival were, you know, some of the things that were said, but there was the sibling chemistry beyond acting, which obviously blew us away after we received that.
The Hollywood, the building itself, Matt's got some real meaning for you, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. For me, it was, I suppose, the childhood theatre and cinema that I remember the most. I mean, it used to be called the Aquarium when I was a younger child, and it was a theatre. So I remember going seeing Gilbert and Sullivan there, the Mikado there. My parents were into musical theatre and into singing, and so they used to take me to these cultural events, and I loved it. I loved it. And then as I suppose that became less popular as I was growing up, the cinema side of it took over. And I mean, I saw some movies that really, I mean, they're general kind of cannon fodder movies now, but at the time they were really informative. The Back to the Future trilogy, I saw all of those in that screen. And Jurassic Park, I saw there, which isn't quite so long ago, but it's a while ago now.
Yeah, long enough,
that movie. And I remember seeing Disney movies, I remember seeing Octopussy there, other other things like that. And so I think that it will be a real... I'm expecting it to be slightly emotional for me because...
Being back there, seeing your work on the big screen.
It will be very, very odd, but also a real achievement for me because I remember sitting there, I'm sure, thinking, I would love to do this. I would love to be making those things, sitting in those seats, watching those films, and to be in a kind of reverse situation and see my film come up there will be...
In your hometown.
Overwhelming.
from the Hollywood to Hollywood, we're talking about the reaction the film's received. Mm. You mentioned a bit when shown in Cardiff. You're going to Hollywood as in the other Hollywood, as in America.
Yeah, the American Hollywood near LA. Yeah, they're taking the film over there. It's screened 3 times in the US now, the movie, outside of LA. And we're going back next week for a screening at the famous Chinese Six Theatres on Hollywood Boulevard, which is just amazing for us that we're going to be over there with this film.
Are you going to go for a DVD release?
That's our plan. Yeah. That's why we're attending the festivals and getting it out there. Really,
could this go on general release? Do you think? Would that be possible?
That would be wonderful. It would be wonderful.
But
if it did.
You see, don't you? Wasn't it? What was that scary film?
Which the
name block. Help me,
the Blair Witch Project.
That's the one, yeah. Because didn't that start off as a bit of a sort of a project?
Yeah, I mean, that was a very unique film in itself, in that the way that they made it and the way that they directed the film. And yeah, it kind of came from nothing to something. It was showing at a festival, got picked up, and went to Sundance, and that was it. It hit the world.
Because as we've seen there are situations where something somebody's wanted to do, a project that you've wanted to do and you've carried out, could just sort of take on a life of its own. And it sounds like that the work everybody has put in, the total sum of the work everyone's put in and you put in, the actors have put in, your family have put in, have made something bigger perhaps than you expected, but sort of it's taken on, as I say, just taken on a magic of its own and a life of its own by the sounds of it.
I think that's very true. I think that if we were to go back in time, would find us, you know, I was excited about it. I think that I was having trouble convincing people around me. You know, you say, oh, I'm making a film, and they're like, right, who's in it? Your family. Okay, it's a home movie. Yeah. And so this sense of believability in what we're doing was much less. And I think that to come from really filming, I suppose, if you like, in your own backyard, to taking that movie and showing it in Hollywood is, yeah, it's a dream come true.
The Hollywood to the Hollywood, that's amazing. Are you making another one? Is this your work now?
This is my work now, yeah. I left my full-time job a couple of months ago.
Wowie.
So I've done either a very foolish or very brave thing. I'm not quite sure which.
If it was big, if this was another Blair Witch, you would never have to work again, surely?
If I save my money very carefully, and if my three children don't spend it all before it's gone.
I'm dead impressed. Really seriously, am. Powerless, Matt Daniels and family, at the Hollywood, Great Yarmouth style tomorrow night. You'll be there, obviously.
I will,
seeing it all. You'll just have to sort of make sure no one realises it's you.
That's it. Yeah,
and just hope that. People don't. If you listen, don't tune into what people are saying unless they're saying nice things. All right.
I always pace around at the back of festival screenings nervously.
And don't watch the exit door, because if somebody goes, they're just going to the loo and they will be coming back.
I understand.
Because that would be, you know, it's the big brave world now, I suppose, being a film director. What an honour to meet you, Matt Daniels. Thank you for your time on BBC Radio Norfolk this afternoon.
No problem.
Read more on. I don't know. Is this our website or the South West Wales website? I think it's the South West website. Instead, go to your website, powerlessmovie.co.uk. powerlessmovie.co.uk. Matt Daniels, great to meet you. Best of luck for the future. Don't get too big time without remembering your friends here at Radio Norfolk, will you? And let's hope there's no power cut when the film's being shown.
I hope so.
Because that would be an irony you could do without.
Definitely.
Good to meet you.